Today's scripture reading is from Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea in the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the inn. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's a pretty common movie ending. I'm sure you've seen it more than a few times. In it, the hero of the movie, having faced danger after danger and overcome obstacle after obstacle and usually finally having realized what's really important in life, nevertheless now lies spent. She or he has tried as hard as they can, but in spite of all their work, right now, things look hopeless. It's also usually raining, or at least dark. But then, all of a sudden, an unlooked-for rescuer arrives. Without any foreshadowing, or sometimes without any real explanation whatsoever, something or someone appears that solves the final problem and allows the hero to get up and finish whatever problem they needed to solve and resolve every plot hole and go to credits. It's called a Deus ex machina ending. Now, you may or may not know those words, but I know you'd know it if you saw it. It's the first Toy Story movie, right? There's Woody and Buzz hopelessly stranded at a gas station when, right in their hour of need, who should come along but a delivery driver who just so happens to be going to the exact place they need to go? It's Jurassic Park. The heroes are cornered by velociraptors when all of a sudden, behold, the T-Rex arrives and unintentionally saves the day. It's the second Harry Potter movie. It's about half of all the Marvel movies. Ocean's 12, Ice Age, The Wizard of Oz. In every single one, the hero is saved by an unexpected, unforeshadowed, and unlooked-for rescuer. Now, it's not just movies, of course. The same thing happens in books, TV shows, musicals, you name it. It's everywhere, and it has been for a while. In fact, these endings have been around as long as storytelling has been around. The name they're known by, that name I said, Deus Ex Machina, do you know where it comes from? It comes from all the way back in 4th century B.C. Athens, when people would put on plays. Because in most plays in the ancient Greek world, they would all end the same way. Whatever the plot, whatever the characters, at the very end, when everything looked hopeless, one of the Greek gods would descend from the top of the stage, from a machine. And the god would come down and give this big, long, eloquent speech, which would just so happen to resolve every little bitty plot hole, and then the screen would fall. The god, the deity, came from the machine, you see. That's how old this ending is. 2,500 years. 2,500 years we've been telling these stories, but we still love them. And I think part of why we love them is because that ending is the ending we want in our own lives. I mean, think back to when you were in elementary school, right? And you had to do that solar system project that we all had to do, and you waited until the very last night to do it because that's what we all did, right? Did you want to stay up all night and learn hard-working character by completing it just in time? No. You wanted mom and dad to do it, didn't you? That time you had a musical performance or a big presentation at work coming up. Did you want to practice again and again and again until you could give that presentation or that musical performance with your eyes closed? No. You wanted to like sleep with a book under your pillow or find a local actor who might be able to impersonate you somehow. That's what you wanted to do. When my daughter is having another toddler tantrum, you think I want to sit up with her and be patient with her and forge the foundation of a lifelong, loving parent-child relationship? No! I want to call grandma. It's just human nature, right? It's wired to each and every one of us. We want someone or something to arrive at the last minute, deliver us, and resolve all the plot in our lives. That's true for Israel, too, you know. In fact, if you've been with us this Advent season, you've heard a longing for a Deus ex machina, a deity from the machine, in basically every reading we've had. I mean, back through it, Isaiah 64, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence." Isaiah 40, "Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low and the glory of the Lord will be revealed." Isaiah 61, "God has appointed me to bring good news to the oppressed, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim the day of vengeance from our God." Even in Mary's song, you heard it. "God has shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud and brought down the powerful and lifted up the lowly." Whatever Isaiah or Mary may have meant by that, you see how easy it would be to get that image in your head, right? How much that sounds, all those verses sound like Deus ex machina, deity from the machine. Right at the end, when all hope seems lost, our one true God will descend from on high with power, resolving every problem while we exhausted heroes just applaud and revel in the movie being over. It's how it felt. It's what they wanted. And you can understand why. I mean, the Israelites, having spent decades in slavery and centuries thereafter in servitude to other nations, they long for God to come and just fix it. They wanted God to come. They wanted God to come like one of those deities from the machine in the ancient Greek plays. God, would you just come? And finally, after all those centuries, God comes. Their deity arrives, but just not like they thought. It wasn't a Deus ex machina. No, God arrives among his people at last as a baby. Hope is born to them, and Mary has to nurse it. Salvation appears among them, and Joseph has to rock it to sleep. I mean, God arrives, and his mom is tired, and his dad is tired, and eventually all the animals around him are tired, because hope is born, and then wails all through the night, just like any other newborn. Turns out that the story of Emmanuel, the story of God with us, the Christmas story, it turns out it's not a Deus ex machina type of story. God doesn't descend from heaven and immediately fix everything and resolve every plot point and go straight to credits. No, as we look back now, as we read the old scriptures with new eyes, we can see how they are still true, but we can also see how they were very misunderstood. It's clear and actually really heartbreaking just how many of the Israelites' hopes were always doomed to disappoint them. And you know what? I'll tell you, looking back on 2020, I see the same thing. I see 2020 as the year we longed for deities from the machines. I mean, we faced hardship after hardship this year. We faced challenge after challenge this year, and with each and every single one, I saw something held up as the thing that if it would just arrive, would be the deity from the machine and just fix everything. I mean, our whole election was framed that way, wasn't it? Which man, if we just vote him in, will be able to fix things? I heard many say that if we just made our voices loud enough, if we just got enough people on the streets, then this is the protest that will finally lead to the change we've been longing for. Oh, I heard many people say, too, that if we just get the right judge on the bench, well, then we can relax. And now, at the end of the year, it's the vaccine, isn't it? Our deus ex machina of the moment. If we just get that, then everything will finally be right. Right? Here's the problem. When a deity descends from the machine in a play or a movie, the play and the movie end. But when the president or the protest or the justice or the vaccine that we have hoped so hard for finally arrives in our life, life goes on. Life just keeps going. And we realize that while we may be better for it, our challenges are still here. Our lives are still hard. The difficulties we face are far from over. And that's because the hard truth is, presidents can't solve every problem. The hard truth is, it's a long road from a conversation or a protest to action. And it's a hard truth that even a vaccine can't bring back 300,000 dead. 2020, the year of longing for deities from the machine, only to be disappointed in them when they finally arrived. And you know, they disappointed us for one very simple reason. Again, not because they're bad things, just because we're not in a movie. And in real life, you know what? Salvation, it never comes from a machine. Our rescue never comes from on high. That's what the Israelites didn't realize. That's what we still don't realize today. Even we Christians seem to have forgotten it. Forgotten that salvation never comes as a deity from the machine. No. As important as they are, our ultimate rescue never comes from presidents or protests or judges or even vaccines, no. The message of Christmas is that we can't look up for salvation. We have to always look down. We have to look down. Down to what's being born and birthed among us. Down to what is being nursed with so much hardship and pain among us. Down to what's being comforted and rocked to sleep among us. Look down to the baby that does bring hope, if only we can keep it alive. But if we learn that lesson, if we hear that message and we begin to look down, if we can tear our eyes away from the heavens and look down to the tiny and helpless, but living hope that is already present among us, you know what we'll see? will see Emmanuel. We will see God with us. Even this year. In fact, if we look back, I think we will see that God with us in 2020 looks a whole lot like God with us 2,000 years ago. I think we see God with us in families stranded miles away from the rest of their friends and relatives, doing the right thing, but feeling so very alone in doing it. I think we see God with us in grocery store clerks and cafeteria workers and church members, so very tired and exhausted, and yet still finding the strength to feed children and youth and adults too. I think we see God with us in employees and home offices doing that monotonous, exhausting, but so very necessary work day in and day out. I think we see God with us in the unemployed, getting up day after day, depressed and anxious, and wondering how in the world they're going to get through this and how long this is really going to last, but still fighting, even at the edge of their rope, to keep hope alive. I think we see God with us in tired faces, and hungry faces, and hurting faces. In other words, I think God with us has looked a lot less like a deity from the machine and a lot more like a baby in a manger. And that gives me hope. It gives me hope to know that when I sit alone at home, missing my friends and my family, that Joseph felt the same way. It gives me hope when I see you all working, toiling, suffering to feed others, that Mary felt the same way. It gives me hope when I look in hungry children's faces and tired children's faces and frustrated children's faces that I really am looking at the face of Jesus. It gives me hope because it reminds me of something we never should have forgotten. That the people and the things that we so easily place our hope in, they will disappoint us, but that's okay. Because salvation never comes from on high anyway. No. Salvation always comes from below. Salvation is always born among the lost and the lowly and the hurting. Salvation comes to tired people who have to work just to keep it alive. Salvation arrives as our Emmanuel, and to those who see it, it looks so very fragile, but it still gives hope. Hope in the knowledge that if we nurse it and rock it and care for it and help it grow, that it will grow and it will save us one day. So, if it hasn't gotten through to you yet, let me just make this explicit tonight. Are you lonely? Emmanuel, God is with you. Are you tired? Emmanuel, God is with you. Are you hungry? Emmanuel, God is with you. Are you scared and depressed and anxious and disappointed? Emmanuel, 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 God is with you. God is still with us. God always has been with us. God always will be with us. Not descending from on high, no. but always and forever arriving among us in ways as ordinary and painful and traumatic as birth. And just like on that holiest of nights, love has been born to you again. You are not alone. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, be born to each and every one of us tonight. Where we have looked on high so often, God, surprise us, tear our gazes down, so that we can finally see you, and even in the midst of hardship, find ourselves rejoicing. In the name of our Emmanuel, Jesus our Christ, we pray. Amen. I wanted to remind you that you're not alone. This is a point in a Christmas Eve service where we would pass the light, and those of us here will. And if you're at home and you happen to have a candle, feel free to light it right now. But I don't know, it didn't seem enough. So I wanted to do something for you to remind you that you're still family, that the light of Christ still shines with you, and that, again, you are not alone. Enjoy.